started. I think we've got all, or at least most of the trustees back in the room. There's Mr. Butler, so I think we're all set to go. So we're going to call to order the meeting of the Finance Audit Compliance Facilities and Operations Committee. Ms. Doe, would you please call the roll?
Trustee Rita Athus?
Here.
Trustee Veronica Herrero? Trustee John Butler?
Here.
Trustee Eric Wazowitz?
Here.
Trustee James Innes?
Here.
Board Chair Montel Gales?
Here.
Committee Vice Chair Leland Strom?
Here.
Committee Chair Dennis Barsima?
Here. Thank you very much. Move on to agenda item two. Mr. Perry, would you please verify that we have a quorum and that appropriate notice of this meeting has been posted?
Mr. Chair, you do have a quorum present and appropriate notice has been provided pursuant to the Illinois Open Meetings Act.
Thank you very much. Move on to agenda item three. May I have a motion to approve the agenda as proposed?
So made, Strom.
Thank you, Trustee Strom. Is there a second?
Second, Athus.
Thank you, Trustee Athus. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstain? The agenda is approved for this meeting. Agenda item four, is there a motion to approve the minutes of the meeting from February 19th, 2026?
So moved, Wazowitz.
Thank you, Trustee Wazowitz. Is there a second?
Second, Innes.
Thank you. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? The minutes of the 19th of February 2026 are approved. Chair's comments. I'd like to welcome any members of the UAC who are present today. Does anybody have any comments for the board?
We have no comments. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, though, for being here. I have a few comments to make. A, the board and I are happy to be here today. As our 2026 graduates embark on new adventures, we want to take the time to say to them thank you for attending and choosing NIU. A number of our students have already made their mark on the world, as you heard from our previous presenter, through working with faculty on crucial and important research, participating in internships that gave them the skills that they're going to need for full-time employment, and getting involved in the NIU and the local community in which they live here. We wish them the best in their next endeavors and want to remind them, once a Husky, always a Husky. And a special thank you to the faculty and staff that have assisted and guided our students as they learn, grow, and succeed in completing their degrees. We have a full agenda for today's meeting, which includes several financial updates and one action item, which I don't ever remember a FACFO meeting with only one action item.
We may set a record for a short meeting.
This might be a first. Agenda item six, public comment. At this point in time, we wish to recognize members of the public who have complied with state and the Board of Trustees bylaws by registering their written request to address the board. Mr. Perry, have you received any timely request to address this meeting?
Mr. Chair, we have four public comments for this meeting. I have four, and I will go into order that I received them. The first is Monica Hubble. If she could approach the podium.
And I would remind the speakers today to limit your comments to 5 minutes or less. Thank you.
Okay, that's better than a school board meeting. That's only 3 minutes. So, first of all, I want to thank trustees for letting us come and speak. I'm with Together for Taft, but I'm also a 1990 elementary education graduate of Northern. Stevenson Tower, 5D Dogs, woof, woof, woof. And also just recently retired after 34 years of teaching. We were thinking in the back, there's a couple of educators that we could really be good stewardesses because we size up kids when they come in the classroom, which one's going to be trouble, which one's going to be our helper. But when the decision was made to close the Laredo Taft Field campus, the initial reaction of many of us was shock. For some, it was grief. For others, it was fear. Fear that something deeply meaningful, something that had shaped generations of children, could simply be lost. I went there as a junior doing my practicum. I almost changed my major to outdoor ed because of that experience. Together for Taft did not begin as an organization with big plans or a structure. It began as a shared, I gotta get my glasses this way, as a shared instinct. The instinct to protect something that mattered, what none of us could fully see in those early moments, that we weren't just responding to a crisis, we were laying the foundation for a team. A team that made up of people who came to this work from very different places. Our founder, Julie Bassett, has her outdoor ed master's from there. Parents, grandparents, educators, alumni, environmental advocates, and community members, some with deep connections to Laredo Taft, others who simply understood the importance of outdoor education and public access to nature and green spaces. We didn't all arrive with the same skill sets, perspectives, or even the same expectations, and that turned out to be our greatest greatest strength. From the beginning, Together for Taft became a space where people were invited to contribute what they could. Some brought research, some brought writing. Some brought organization skills, some brought relationships and networks. Others brought creativity, persistence, or the ability to ask the hard questions. No single role was more important than another. What mattered was the shared commitment to reopen Laredo Taft Field Campus. Our team building happened in conversations, in meetings, in moments when people stepped up without even being asked, and in moments when people listened. We learned early on that trust isn't built on titles or hierarchy. It's built by showing up, by following through, and by respecting one another's perspectives. Momentum begins not with one single big victory, but with steady collective movement. I joined this team last August. I didn't join because I believed this group had the greatest chance of success in reopening Laredo Taft. I joined because it was, and it still is, the only group making the effort. If someone more qualified or has a greater chance of success steps forward, I would fully support them. I think we all would. This isn't about saving Laredo Taft for ourselves. This isn't about our legacy. For 70 years it was NIU's legacy. This is about saving Laredo Taft so future 10-year-olds can have the same life-changing experiences that all of my students had. I had 30 years in Elmhurst School District where I had brought students out to Laredo Taft, and the transformation coming back from that experience was unbelievable. In the early days, there were more questions than answers. We were figuring out how to be heard, how to organize, how to make our case. It sometimes felt like pushing uphill, but we called and met with several different state representatives from DuPage County, Kane County, DeKalb County, because many counties sent their children, their school children, to Laredo Taft, not just DeKalb County. Also, the letters of support started pouring in from school district superintendents, but even more interesting was that our DeKalb and Kane County Regional Office of Superintendents also support our mission to reopen Laredo Taft Field Campus. What has changed and what continues to change is the sense of forward motion. Together for Taft continues to move forward. We no longer are just responding. We're engaging. We're building visibility. We're forming partnerships. We're part of a broader conversation about conservation, outdoor education, about community stewardship. People are paying attention from Rockford to Chicago to Oregon. New voices are joining the effort and support is growing. Momentum shows up in many ways. It shows up when more people attend these meetings. It shows up when someone reaches out and says, hey, how can I help? It shows up in letters of support, in public dialogue, and in the willingness of others to stand alongside us. None of these moments exist in isolation. Together they create credibility and confidence. Momentum matters because it turns concern into action, and it turns ideas into plans, and it allows grassroots efforts like Together for Taft to sustain itself over time. Momentum is what transforms a group of combined individuals into a movement with staying power. Momentum belongs to the team and to everyone who has contributed time, energy, and belief, whether visibly or quietly behind the scenes. It belongs to those who spoke up early and to those who are just now finding their way into this work. At its core, Together for Taft is about stewardship. It's about recognizing that places like Laredo Taft don't survive by accident. There are 12 buildings on this campus that need a steward. They need children in these buildings. Buildings are living and breathing. The doors need to be open. The toilet faucets, things need to be on. This has gone on too long. Okay. We are still in the middle of this story. There's more work to do, more voices to welcome, and more ground to cover. But what we have already built, the team, the trust, and the momentum, gives us a strong foundation for what comes next, which is reopening the Laredo Taft Field Campus. That's it.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Sure. Next, Marley Mattson.
Hi, I'm Mark Mattson. I taught at Francis Parker School in Chicago for 31 years. While there, actually when I first started, a graduate of NIU, Anne-Marie Fries, science teacher, and I, and several others, formed a team to develop outdoor education curriculum for our fifth grade. We brought them out here in the fall of 1980. So for several years before my own children graduated from NIU, I was already on campus. We started in 1980 and we have continued ever since. I retired in 2011 and they're still going on an outdoor ed trip. However, this last few years, because they don't have access to Laredo Taft, they've been going to Indiana. That's too bad. But they're still continuing what was started here at NIU in the science departments here. For those of us who have spent time at Laredo Taft, from its earliest occupants among the Eagle's Nest colony in 1898, to the last students who were here just a couple of years ago. This place means a lot to us. It is a place of meaning, a rich repository of lessons in science, art, and humanity. It was very interesting to hear that last speaker at your previous meeting, because what we can do in nature to help develop our sense of humanity is really quite remarkable. From the high prairies down through the eroded gash that goes into the Rock River, generations have walked on this land and has learned from what nature has done here. The geology of its layers of rock, sand, and humus, the generations of grass, the variety of trees, and the wildlife that's found home there are all discoverable even today. We would like to be the shepherds of that discovery and maintain its stewardship if NIU allows us to.
Next we have Nick Hansen.
Board and trustees, thank you again. And for the risk of sounding like a broken record, I'm also up here to talk about Taft and Laredo Taft. However, from a perspective of a local kid who grew up here in DeKalb and has been a local lifelong resident of DeKalb, I just wanted to say a few words here, and mine will be rather brief, but the campus at Laredo Taft has had a special place in my heart and the hearts of many for the last 30 plus years. And the kids that have come out there to experience that, I myself as a fifth grader from a local Catholic school that was out there, it was one of the best 3 days of my experience. And from that, for me, and I know as far as many other students, it can be their first time and first experience away from home from their parents. So, you know, it's a good experience of independence, self-confidence, self-awareness, and self-adventure. All of this has increased as we're out there each day. One of my favorite things was they taught us how to measure the waste of the food that we had every day and reduce that waste of that food every day. And that's something that I've taken with me for the past 30 plus years of my life as well. So they got to know their own school teachers on a different level. They got to know the rest of their students on the rest of a different level, and often talk about those experiences. As you'll hear from the other folks that come up here, there's not a place that I walk into after being a part of this group for Together for Taft that 80% of the people don't have a story or a memory of it. So it's just one of those things that sticks with you. The students grew to love the outdoors, rain, snow, sunshine, hot weather, cold weather. We hiked, we climbed, we explored, we watched, and we listened. We learned how to clean the tables in the cafeteria. We learned how to set up conversation and have conversation with friends, adults. We sang songs around a campfire place. And I just want to conclude with saying future students deserve the same opportunity that I had and others had to experience Laredo Taft, and they will be a better place because of it. Thank you for letting me reminisce.
And last public comment is Julie Bassett.
Good morning, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. Before I begin, can I see a show of hands of the board of who has been on the Laredo Taft property? Okay. Thank you very much. Looks like we have several people that have been on that campus. My name is Julie Bassett, and I'm with Together for Taft, an independent nonprofit formed to help preserve, reactivate, and reimagine the Laredo Taft Field Campus for public benefit. Our mission is rooted in educational, ecological, cultural, and community-centered renewal. We are working to build partnerships that honor the site's history while creating meaningful opportunities for its future. Together for Taft has already received recognition at the state level, and our federal nonprofit recognition just got finalized on February 13th, 2026. We have also been in communication with local, county, and state leaders, as well as representatives from IDNR, because we believe this campus matters deeply to the people of this region and to the broader educational story of Illinois. We understand that NIU's current direction is to work toward a transfer of the property to IDNR, and we respect that. We appreciate that these matters are complex and involve multiple agencies and legal steps. At the same time, we are now well over a year into this process, and we believe it is reasonable to ask that the next steps begin to come into clearer view. Our requests today are direct and practical. First, we are asking NIU to allow structured, escorted, reoccurring access to the Laredo Taft Field Campus during this transition period. We are not asking for unrestricted access, and we are not asking for one-time visit. We are asking for a way to periodically bring serious prospective partners onto the property so that they can walk the site, understand its assets, and envision how they may participate in its future. That includes community colleges. We have three thus far that are very interested in partnerships, possible agencies, and potential sponsors. We are already in conversation with those institutions of Highland Community College, Kishwaukee College, and Sauk Valley College, among others. And in order for those conversations to become real partnerships, people need to see the place. They need to stand on the property, understand the buildings and the land, and imagine what is possible for them. Second, we are asking for clarity regarding the land itself. Are all three parcels intended to be included in the hoped-for transfer to IDNR? That is important for planning, for partnership, development, and for the integrity of any future vision. Third, we are asking whether NIU can clarify what it understands to be the formal process and required steps for a transfer of this kind. In other words, what approvals, procedures, or state-level actions are still needed. We want to make sure we are using the right language and understanding the process accurately. Fourth, we are asking whether NIU would be willing to share its hopeful timeline and next actionable steps as this unfolds, and, if possible, to keep Together for Taft informed along the way. We are not asking to control the process. We are asking to remain meaningfully in the loop as a serious local nonprofit that has done the work, organizing support, building credibility, and preparing for long-term stewardship and partnership. We believe this is in NIU's interest as well. Much of the programming we are proposing is not a departure from Taft's legacy, but a continuation and an expansion of the outdoor education tradition that NIU itself helped build and shape there. NIU has been central to the modern history of the campus since the land was transferred to Northern Illinois State College in 1951. And the campus grew into a site serving tens of thousands of school children throughout Northern Illinois through the outdoor education program. Together for Taft's leadership as an independent nonprofit also creates the possibility of relieving NIU of ongoing burden while building new partnerships, new programming, and new community investment around the site. We are pursuing educational partnerships, potential trades-based collaboration, and broader civic and philanthropic support. We also intend to explore historic recognition connected to the Eagle's Nest Art Colony, which is an important Illinois story and one in which NIU will always have a meaningful place in this history. The Eagle's Nest history and NIU's long relationship to the campus are part of what makes this place worth protecting. I have two lines left. We are not here in opposition, we are here in partnership. We are asking respectfully for access, clarity, and communication, structured, reoccurred, escorted access for serious prospective partners, clarity on whether all three parcels are part of the intended transfer, clarity on the transfer process itself, and a better understanding of timeline and next steps. We're ready to keep building. We simply need enough visibility and access to do that work responsibly. Thank you for your time, and thank you for your consideration.
Thank you very much. Thank you all. Appreciate it. Okay, we're going to move on to agenda item 7A, and I will turn it over to you, George.
So agenda item 7A is the quarterly financial summary fiscal year 2026 for the third quarter as of March 31st, 2026. The following update provides a disaggregated view of NIU's budget and its financial performance for the quarter. Based on current trends, fiscal year 26 is projected to close with an all funds deficit of $2.8 million compared to the originally planned budget. This is less than the projected $4 million deficit projected in Q2, but still fails to meet the board and HLC mandate of a balanced FY26 budget. The shortfall is primarily driven by the $2 million reduction in expected state appropriations. While tuition and fees are forecasted to be higher than budget by $1.4 million, overall full year revenues are projected to finish $1.2 million below the budget, driven primarily by the aforementioned state appropriation reduction. On the expense side, total spending is projected to exceed budget by $1.6 million, with the overage concentrated in scholarships and personnel services. Scholarships are expected to finish $4.2 million over budget, reflecting higher state-funded AIM High support in residential housing, along with an associated increase in scholarships due to higher enrollment. Personnel services are trending slightly above budget due to lower than expected retirements and separations. Although rigorous personnel position control has helped mitigate the overage, This discipline will continue to be applied over the next 3 months. We continue restructuring positions as an alternative to rehiring vacant positions as a part of this strategy. Contractual services continues to perform better than budget with a projected savings of $2.1 million. The projected 26 deficit in the third quarter improved over the second quarter projections from $4 million to $2.8 million. However, continued progress will require sustained discipline in managing expenses to achieve the imperative of a balanced budget by year end. Fiscal year 26 budget tuition and fee increases now reflect the impact of stronger than expected fall and spring enrollment. There continues to be opportunity to see increased revenues for the summer session, which leaves potential upside for tuition and fees and related revenue categories pending the final enrollment counts for the year. Although future revenue trends present an encouraging upside, expense discipline remains vital to achieving year-end financial targets. To align expenditures with revised revenue expectations and mitigate the projected deficit, the university continues to emphasize its deficit mitigation strategies, focusing on aggressive position and cost control measures.
Thank you very much. Before I open it up to questions or comments from the board, I have a few comments to make. So we've made significant progress. Let me just remind you of where we have come from and where we are today. Fiscal year 24, we had a $30+ million loss. Fiscal year 25, we had an $18 million loss. The budget for this year was a balanced budget, meaning zero loss or profit, just a balanced budget. And we are currently forecasting a $2.8 million miss or a deficit to a balanced budget. So we're getting close to the approved budget, but we're not quite there yet. But from a board standpoint, I can speak on behalf of the board that we are happy to hear the disciplined expense control will continue until we reach our balanced budget commitment. The board has continued to make our expectations of a balanced budget clear, and we will continue to hold the university accountable for a balanced budget. And yes, I'm trying to see how many times I can say balanced budget in my comments. Oh, thank you very much. We sincerely appreciate the work and sacrifice that everybody in the NIU community has made to this point. The board urges all members of NIU to continue to take our deficit reduction seriously, as I know you are, as success will depend on shared accountability for responsible spending and use of resources across all divisions and departments, leaders, supervisors, and employees. We are nearly there, but we need everybody's help to close this $2.8 million gap here in the final fiscal quarter to get to a balanced budget. There, I said it again, and preserve the university's cash. So with that, I would open it up to any comments or questions from the board for George.
And my statement's not necessarily for George, but you're going to be caught up in this as well. I just want to commend the chairman and the vice chairman, Strom and Marcima, for the work that you've done on this committee to get us to this point, as well as our president and her leadership and setting a climate, a culture that understands that we've got to hit the finish line, right? This couldn't have been done without your leadership, Madam President. I thank you very much for that.
Thank you for the comments relative to the leadership of the university. Because I've said this before, I will happily say it again. I've in my career, from a business standpoint, I have worked with many CFOs. I've worked with many CEOs. On getting to a balanced budget, getting to a budget that makes sense for their business. And I can sit here and with a as honest of a comment as I can make to you to say that the leadership team at the university and the people within the university who are having to execute on their vision is one of the best I've ever seen. The leadership gets it. The people of the university get it. We have to have a balanced budget in order to continue to move forward and serve our mission. We can't serve our mission without a balanced budget. There's just no way of doing that, right? We don't have a savior coming in from the state or from Washington who's going to just allow us to spend as we want to and make up whatever deficit we have at the end of the year. That's not there. It is on us to do it. But I will tell you, the leadership team here that Lee and I work with on a regular basis relative to the budget and the people within the university community are exceptional. And so on behalf of the board, as chair of this committee, thank you. To everybody in this room and everybody who might listen to these comments, thank you for the work that you're doing. Much appreciated and needed. Other comments, Lee?
And I'll, as vice chair of the committee, and I want to commend the chair, you, Dennis, for the leadership on this. I know many times we reference and talk about shared leadership at the university here, and this is about shared sacrifice as well. We know that there has been many difficult decisions that have been made in the last year or two or three to get us to this point, and we are very cognizant of the difficult choices that have had to be made. And Lisa, I want to commend you and the leadership as well as the faculty of the university in addressing those needs. One of the other things that we are very cognizant about, we've talked about this in a recent committee call we've had as we brief on this, is, and the one thing I continue to want to focus on is that as we have done cuts and eliminated positions, is there ever a risk that we cut too far? If we have enrollment increase, and it was this last year the trough, were we at the bottom of the trough on enrollment? We saw a tick up this last academic year. If that's a new trend, and we're going to see some increased enrollment trends in the years to come, we need to also, again, prepare ourselves for what we may need to do here at the university. So again, I just want to reiterate that there's two sides of this coin. We can cut and address it, but we also do not want to cut it to the bone.
Can I say something?
Okay, so we'll go to you, Eric, and then we'll go to President Freeman.
Okay, so I'm just kind of curious. There was money that was owed to us, or at least we thought we were getting from the state.
Yes.
And that was pulled back. How much was that?
$2 million.
And how short are we?
$2.8 million.
Thank you.
But it just reinforces my comment that we don't have a rescue coming from anybody. It's on ourselves, yeah.
I know.
But no. Yeah.
But I think it's good to have that in mind.
Go ahead, President Freeman.
I want to thank the board for their continued diligence in working with the leadership team of the university on this very critical and important issue. I want to thank you for the continued reminders today and previous that you can't just cut your way out, you have to grow. Revenue growth is as important as cutting. We've heard about shared leadership and we've heard about shared sacrifice, and I just want to make sure that I give a shout out to shared governance, because our official shared governance of the university, the university advisory committee members who sit here along with the resource space and budget committee, the academic planning council, and the president's budget roundtable, they have been tremendous partners. And thought partners and also partners indeed. So as we have gone through fiscal year 26 and as we plan for fiscal year 27, I just want to say that the level of collaboration, interaction, feedback that we enjoy with each other is something that makes NIU special, as we've said so many times this morning. So I want to thank Shared Governance for being good thought partners and partners in deeds as well.
Other comments? Okay, thank you. We'll move on to agenda item 7B.
Agenda item 7B is the periodic report on cash and investments for the period ending March 31st, 2026. The cash and investment holding summary as of March 31st reflects a total university holdings of $101 million. Of this amount, approximately $21 million is related to the 2024 tax-exempt energy efficiency financing. Approximately $35 million is available for daily operations, representing about 27 days of cash on hand. The remaining balances are restricted due to the collateralization requirements, escrow accounts, and contractual obligations associated with the auxiliary and commercial card programs. Excluding the energy efficiency project funds, total holdings declined by about $6 million compared to March 2025. It is important to note that although we have 27 days of cash on hand as of March 31st, this is the high point for the cash during the spring semester. Cash for the university is cyclical in nature, so we will see a decline in cash balances for the last 3 months as cash disbursements typically outpace cash receipts for the last quarter. The investment earnings report reflects investment income of about $1 million and an annualized rate of return of 3.76% for the third quarter. This represents a decrease of approximately $600,000 compared to the same quarter in fiscal year 25. The decline in interest income is primarily attributable to lower interest rates and the reduction of total cash and investment balances. The university continues to address downward cash flow trend through proactive planning and the ongoing implementation of the deficit mitigation plan and a balanced budget.
Thank you, George. Again, this is an information-only item, does not require a vote, and I will take comments or questions from the board here in a second, but let me just say that a reinforcement of what we've talked about before, to get to a balanced budget means that we start to grow our cash, right? And so as we start to grow our cash, and as I sit here today, I've never seen a situation where you didn't have a balanced budget or earning a profit, right? Which kind of comes next after a balance, after you balance the budget, you start to bring in more money than you have going out, is going to build our cash reserves. And as we build our cash reserves, we insulate ourselves from some of the external forces that we have no control over. State cuts, federal cuts, and so forth. Today, as you've seen in George's report and in George's comments, you know, we continue to kind of keep our head above water from a cash standpoint, but we're not too far above water. And, you know, we dip below water, and then we come above water, we dip below water. And so as we get to a balanced budget and as we move forward with balanced budgets and growing the revenue and continuing to mitigate expenses at NIU, we will continue to grow our cash reserves. And as we grow our cash reserves, we put ourselves in control of our future. We put ourselves in control of our destiny. And we owe that to ourselves, to our students, to our faculty, to our staff, you know, to everybody. And so, again, that just, cash just reinforces why getting to a balanced budget is so, so important for us. So with that, I'll take any questions from the board. We good? Okay. George, we'll move on to agenda item 7C.
Agenda item 7C is the fiscal year 2027 University Budget Preliminary Summary. As the university prepares for the June Board of Trustees meeting to consider the FY27 internal budget, institutional leadership is working with campus partners and the Office of Budget and Financial Planning to develop an all-funds budget proposal. While work will continue to develop a final plan, several key parameters are known and are highlighted and incorporated into this item. This preliminary budget highlights major assumptions, revenue projections, expense categories, and deficit mitigation strategies that will guide both the fiscal year 27 budget and future budget planning efforts. The FY27 budget proposal is being developed through use of a zero-based budgeting approach and is being built from the bottom up with all revenue and expense elements being closely scrutinized. Some highlights from the preliminary summary include a projected increase in the state's appropriation from a little more than $103 million to $104.7 million. It also includes modest tuition and fee growth based on current enrollment trends and tuition increases for the last 2 years, leveraging the truth in tuition policy balanced by the most recent retention data. For expenses, we use existing obligated personnel contracts to begin estimation of personnel expenses, and then the higher ed price index to estimate most of the expenses. I do think it is important to note that the zero-based approach that was used has been very iterative this year. The first part of this process had divisions focusing on their core functions and how those support student success and the mission of the university. This process served as a foundation for discussion as we build expense budgets for fiscal year 27, allowing all of us to better understand how the resources are used and where they may be better opportunities for synergy and efficiencies.
Thank you. Again, this is information only item. No vote is required. Just have a couple of comments on this. So one of the challenges that we have in building a budget for FY27 or any fiscal year is that our fiscal year, as you may know, begins on July 1st of each year. That budget is built upon what we expect the enrollment to be for the fall and also spring of, in this case, fall of 26, spring of 27. We don't know those numbers until sometime in September. So we have to be really good on our assumptions on the revenue coming in, because if you read the report that George and his team put together in our package, which I really encourage you to do, you will see that the majority of our revenue comes from student tuition, fees, housing, et cetera, right? Everything's connected back to the student. And so getting students onto our campus, keeping students in school, getting students to graduation, right, is extremely important for us. So it's a very difficult process relative to budgeting when you don't really know what the enrollment's going to be until almost 3 months after the start of your fiscal year. And so the zero-based budget buildup that George and Dr. Freeman have implemented along with the leadership team and every department on our campus is so necessary for us to do, so that we have just a good understanding of what our expenses are going to be and what is needed in order to run the university. But so I really, you know, again, applaud. This is something that we've been doing for the past few years. We refine it every year. But I applaud everybody, including the leadership team, of course, for how budgets are built on this campus now. They are being built the right way. But again, I emphasize, we don't have all the information that we ordinarily would like to have relative to what the top line is going to be. So as I finish that, any questions or comments for George or Dr. Freeman? Okay, we will move on. Agenda item 8, our one action item. So I'll turn it back over to George. Agenda item 8A.
Agenda item 8A is the fiscal year 2027 NIU Foundation Professional Services Contract. The university and the foundation annually enter into a contract which serves to outline the fundraising services and activities to be provided by the foundation on behalf of the university each year. This contractual agreement is in accordance with the Legislative Audit Commission guidelines. The amount represents no change over fiscal year 26, which was $743,000. The university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee endorse this request and ask that the President forward it by means of the President's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its meeting on June 4th, 2026.
Thank you, George. Is there a motion to approve agenda item 8A?
So made, Strum.
Thank you, Trustee Strum. Is there a second?
Second, Wasowitz.
Thank you, Trustee Wasowitz. Is there any discussion? Okay. Hearing none, all those in favor of agenda item 8A say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Agenda item 8A is approved. And as I said before at the beginning, that is the only action item we have on our agenda for today, so we will move on to another information item, agenda 9.
NIU board regulations stipulate that the university presents regular summaries of designated activities, including financial and property transactions, as well as confirmation that state and federal requirements are met. The agenda item includes one written update and is submitted in accordance with the Board of Regulations, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions or comments from the committee members on 9A?
Just one comment.
Chair Gales.
For those of you who know me, have known me through the years, know that I'm really a proponent of having minority and female vendors working with the university. I think it's a form of workforce development. It's a place where we're educating young minds to go out and to work into the fields of Illinois, et cetera. I just want to emphasize that as there's been a depreciation of the importance of diversity, that we also maintain a commitment to working with minorities and women on contracts of this nature to make sure that we're building up the workforce for Illinois.
Thank you, Chair Gales. Other questions, comments? Okay. Hearing none, we will move on. Are there any other matters that need to come before this committee today? Okay. Hearing none, the next meeting date for this committee will be August 27th of 2026. Is there a motion to adjourn this meeting?
So made, Strom.
Second.
Thank you,
Gales.
Trustee Strom, and we have a second from Chair Gales. Ms. Doe, would you please call the roll to adjourn the meeting?
Trustee Rita Athus?
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero? Trustee John Butler?
Yes.
Trustee Eric Wazowicz?
Yes.
Trustee James Innes?
Yes.
Board Chair Montel Gales?
Yes.
Committee Vice Chair Leland Strom?
Yes.
Committee Chair Dennis Barsima?
Yes. This concludes the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee meeting. The special meeting of the Board of Trustees will begin immediately now, so all trustees stay, and we will begin the special meeting. Thank you.